Father, thank you for each person that was compelled by you to pray this morning for these specific issues and for all of us as we corporately pray together in your house as your people in a house of prayer. Father, our prayers, I know, are pleasing to you as we surrender our hearts and our concerns to you and lay them down before your throne. I pray, Father, for America, that you would just protect us. I pray, Father, that you would secure, Father, our country from additional terrorism and all the evils that Satan wants to throw our way. But in each of these areas, whether it be the hurricane or the fires or Afghanistan or our government or security or anything that we prayed for or any more, that through all these things, Father, that number one, I pray that people would turn their hearts to you, that they would either receive you as their Savior if they don't know you, or if they already know you, that they're clinging to you even more and more closely and grow closer to you, and that you would also bring our country to a place where we humbly look to you as one nation under God, that you might be glorified, that we might be your people as a nation, Father. Kind of like a counterpart to Israel being a chosen nation, we're a nation built on the principles of your word as God, as the head of our country, as it was intended to be. And I just thank you for allowing us to be that type of country as a Gentile people. So honor this, Father. Let us see the effects of the prayers of not only our prayers, but the prayers of so many throughout our country and around the world. In this pandemic and the different things that come up with that, I ask, Father, that you would resolve that, put it behind us, allow us to have peace and health, and most of all, again, draw each of our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen. Thank you so much for being willing to take that time with me to pray. Father, just bless this message and use it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 41:10, do not be afraid. I am your God. Do not tremble with fear. My mind went blank. Do not tremble with fear. Go ahead. I memorized it this morning, but I went blank.
Fear not, for I am your God. Do not be dismayed. No, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
There you go. Different translation, but that's it. Good job, Justin. I'm humbled because I had it. I've been looking at it all week, and I just went blank. So, but thank you. That's what we need to remember. That wasn't up on, no, it's different translations.
I set it up on wallpaper, so every time I open my phone.
There you go. Thank you so much. God bless you for doing that. But really, Satan can try to convince us to be afraid. God is with us, right? And we're not to be trembling with fear. God is our strength. He'll protect us and he'll give us victory. So praise God for that verse. God's called us to be overcomers in this world. Overcoming fear, overcoming the odds that are stacked against us as God's people in a world that hates all that stands for righteousness and the things of God. We are to just trust him and rely on him. We're to remember, I had all the balls thrown. One of the things I forgot to tell the kids was that can hit us from angles that we don't expect. That's why I went around the congregation to have you throw the ball, that we can come from people or circumstances or areas in our life that we don't even see coming, that they're from different areas. And so we just need to be willing to be a people that stand strong and seek the face of the Lord and trust in him and rely on him and are bold for him as God's people in the world that we live in. The arrows might fly at us physically and spiritually, but God is always with us, being our shield of protection. We just need to believe that God is our protection, that he is our shield. You know, it doesn't matter what we go through. I mean, we could be facing death and literally be leaving here to go to be with him. But God is right there with us, giving us the grace and everything that we need to go through that. He'll never leave us or never forsake us. He is our protection. Protection from fear. He'll give us security. He'll give us grace. He'll give us strength. He'll give us what we need for any given circumstance. In Genesis chapter 14, Abram, otherwise known as Abraham, had just rescued his nephew Lot from his enemies. And so in chapter 14, it's basically saying that Abram would not take allegiance with Sodom and the spoils that were available. It's a little bit of background history that there were four kings that stood with Abram, but he was afraid that they would turn on him. He was not willing to comply with Sodom. And what I'm really trying to say with that is that Abraham was very careful who he lined himself up with, who he aligned himself, who his alliances were, that he put his trust first and foremost in God. And so we need to do that. We need to be careful with who we stand with and make sure that we stand first with God. Stand in his word, stand in our relationship with him, be his people. And so in Genesis 15:1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I love that, because as we hold on to faith, like I was telling the kids, if you hold on to faith through whatever comes towards you, whatever hardship, whatever pain, whatever hurt, whatever circumstance that's not positive in your life, you hold on to your shield, and you, by faith, you rely on God. In doing so, the end result will be that God will reward you. God will reward you and I for being faithful through the trial, through the circumstance. So just like our country, just like our world, just like those Christians that are in Afghanistan, I understand that Christian churches are being hunted down and people are being killed, beheaded, or whatever. It's a horrible thing. And yet they remain faithful through it all, and God will reward accordingly. So we're called not to be afraid. That's what God told Abram. God tells you and I, because the spirit of fear does not come from God. It is not from God. I'm talking about fear where we lose self-control, fear that overwhelms us and cripples us and paralyzes us emotionally, even spiritually. That's not from God. We're to fear God out of due respect and for who he is. And in his presence, there's an awareness of his greatness to whatever nth degree that God would allow us to know him. But I'm not talking about that type of fear. I'm talking about a fear that handicaps and paralyzes people. We're not to be that type of people. We're not to be afraid, because God is with us. And we're God's people in a world of turmoil, a world of chaos, a world of nonsensical judgments. We are called of God to remain faithful and not to be afraid. God knew Abram's heart. He knows your heart as well. He knows that we can easily be in a state of fear, and God calls us not to be. He knows that we're in physical battles, and we're not to be afraid of the physical battles, whether it be our health or Afghanistan's or anywhere else in the world, or even the natural disasters that are happening or have happened in our country and around the world, like hurricanes and tsunamis and all those things. We're to remain faithful as God wants us to be faithful. So do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. God is your shield. God is my shield. We are his children. He is our father. No greater shield can we have than God Almighty. Amen to that? No greater shield. So God didn't promise to give Abram a shield. God himself promised to be his shield. We need to remember that there's a difference, that God is our shield. It's the first and foremost thing that we need to understand. King David said the same thing in Psalm 3:1-3. It says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. When we rely on God, not a shield that's secondary to God, but we rely on God, our Heavenly Father, that he causes us to stand up strong, to lift our head up high, to be the people that he's called us to be. One of the things that the Apostle Paul asked often, but he also asked that we as his people would have it too, is that we would have bold confidence in him, that we would speak boldly as God's people, that we would be wise, loving, and bold in the things that God would have us to stand and in the way that God would have us to represent him. God knew where Abram was, what he needed to hear, and God knows where you are and what you need to hear. He knows your circumstance. He knows the things that are stacked up against you in your mind. He knows that you need to remember that he is sovereign, that he's the one in control. He can take care of everything. Nothing is impossible with God. I want to ask a couple questions. Have you just taken a stand for God's word? If you have, you will be attacked. When we stand for God and his word, expect the enemy to take recourse on our action, because Satan doesn't want us to be light that represents him in our world. Have you just been in battle with the enemy? There's a spiritual enemy, but we can, in real terms, we can see the enemy in the battle that our troops are facing in Afghanistan. Have you just come off a mountaintop experience? Remember, the valley comes after the top, right? But also remember that the valley, I've learned, is where the richest truths of God's promises are found when we rely on him as our shield. I've learned that the mountaintop is great, but it's not as deep and rewarding as it is faith in the middle of the valley. And so we can rely on him. Are you afraid of the consequences for doing right? You know, I know I'm supposed to stand. I know I'm supposed to be God's people. I know I'm supposed to represent him. Are we afraid of the consequences? Don't be. Be bold in Jesus. Are you afraid of the enemy's next move? Well, I stood for God. Now what's the devil going to do? The devil will kind of throw this in our face and hear say, well, boy, you blew it, kiddo. You're gonna get a double barrel from me. We don't have to be afraid, because God is our shield. God is our shield. And we can trust him, and he'll honor us for standing up for him. Are you afraid of God? Are you afraid God will abandon you? You ever get that? I'm going to stand for you. Will God follow true? Will God follow through on his promise that I'll never leave you or forsake you? These are things that develop our faith and build our relationship with God. What was the promise that was given in Genesis 15:1? Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. We said that three times so far in this message, that there is a reward that is great, that what's exceedingly beyond our expectations, beyond our imagination. There is a reward, not just now in the immediate time of our life, not just maybe later in our life as we grow in faith, but in eternity. Our faithfulness will affect our eternal status in God as we live and reign with him. We're to lay down the foundation which God will build on and make us into the people he's called us to be in heaven for eternity. Laying down that foundation is being faithful to God now. Going through the boot camp, if you will, that spiritual boot camp that God calls us to go through, each one of us, to carry our own cross. God is saying the enemy will have to get through me. God is my shield. God is your shield. The enemy has to get through me. Is that possible? That the enemy can get through the Lord? No. But what happens? Sometimes we let down our shield of faith and we unguard ourselves, and the enemy hits us. But whenever we hold up that shield of faith, God is right there to protect us and to provide and to give whatever's needed for us to get through that experience. God even promises that we will have a reward. And of course, that reward is him. What do I mean by the fact that the reward is him? When you grow to know Jesus more and more, is that a reward in your life? Hey, I never thought I'd know Jesus the way I know him now. I never thought that God would show himself to me, reveal his personality, his character, his thinking, his wisdom, that personal relationship that becomes more and more real to me, sometimes even more real than in contrast to the world that we live in. I know God personally, and I have a relationship with him, and that is a great reward. The promises of God are meant to move us from fear and defeat to living life as overcomers. You know, some of the things we heard on the news about the soldiers, the 82nd Airborne troops, right? Over and over, I kept hearing them say, those guys and ladies would go out and do whatever needed to be done without the fear of losing their own life for the sake of ours. They were willing to say, I'm going to lay down it all because there's a great cause at hand, our country and our people. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to say, I'm going to lay down everything I've got, even lose my life, for the sake of upholding God's glory and upholding the Christian faith and the light that God has called us to be and to bear in the world that we live in. And so the promises of God are meant to move us from fear and defeat to living life as overcomers. Those soldiers that we talk about in Afghanistan, you and I as believers in Christ, we should not live in a status of fear or in a mental focus of defeat, but we should live as overcomers in Christ Jesus. No matter what the challenge, no matter how weird the angle is that Satan throws his attacks against us, that we hold up that shield of faith and we rely on God, and that we grow closer to him, and God removes the fear. He removes the fear. He removes the defeat, because we are not defeated. We are conquerors in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 13:5b, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God for that. We can hold. You might think God isn't there, but he is, right? Just be honest. Sometimes we think, well, God, where are you? I need you now. But he's there, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We rely on him. He gives us that grace. Isaiah 43:1, verses 1 through 3a. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I will be with you when you pass through the waters, when you feel like the floods are just coming over the top of you, totally out of control, you're just sinking in the middle of it. God said, I'm right there with you. When you walk through fire, the persecution of fire, the hardship of fire, the depths of how fire affects us in that sense, in that metaphorical sense, God is with us. Like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego we talked about a couple weeks ago. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God is your Savior as a believer. He's my Savior as I believe in him. And we can know that no matter how ugly or how massive the problem is that we are in or that we're facing, when we hold up our faith, we can get through it faithfully. But we always will know that God is with us, because he said he'll never leave us or forsake us. In Genesis 15:2-3, it says, Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And he said, well, why did I flip from God being my shield and relying on him and that exceedingly great reward to that passage of scripture? We need to remember that when God makes promises to us, that we can trust in those promises. God made a promise to Abraham that he would give him a great inheritance, and he hadn't had a child yet. God promised him when he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, right? Roughly. That they would have a child between them. God often will stack the odds against us that we know there's no way humanly possible that things can change. But in all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with him. And so we can trust him to accomplish what he wants us to do, to remove fear from our lives and to encourage us. Abram was also filled with fear and uncertainty because he wanted a heritage. But God told him, said, just as you see the stars in the sky, your inheritance will be. You know, it wasn't a physical inheritance per se that he was referring to. He was talking about that all people of faith, like he had faith in God the Father, all those that put their faith in God the Father as believers are the inheritance spiritually in his life because of his faith to God. And so he had certain fear for the future of his family. Was he beginning to doubt God's promise that he would give him an heir? And he had to recheck himself. He had to say, God promised me. Have you ever gone to God and say, God, you promised? Does that sound disrespectful? Well, we have a condescending attitude, yeah. But when we go to God and say, God, your word is your word, and you've promised, and I'm relying on you and your word to do what you said for your glory. And so I'm not going to back down on your word. I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to believe your word. And in doing that, as we lay down our concerns and our questions to God, all of our struggles before God, that as we lay these things down, the Holy Spirit will stir our heart to think about his promises. And if we take hold of those promises and say, God, you told me you'd never leave me or forsake me. You told me that you're my strength. You told me that I can rely on you through anything. You told me this, 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 and this. In the midst of our struggles, we can trust him. So when you're filled with fear and uncertainty and have questions and doubts, bring them to God directly. You think about our country and the future of our country, and I'm thinking, what is the future of our country? I don't know. But I know one thing, so long as I'm alive on earth, and you too, as believers in Christ, we're called to stand for him and follow him and be the people he's called us to be. That's our mission. And we're to carry it out to the very end, to the very, very end. When you are filled with fear and uncertainty and have questions and doubts, bring them to God directly. In Genesis 15, 4 and 5, it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. God answered and reassured Abram. He will answer and reassure us too. When we humbly go before God, when we humbly sit ourselves before his throne, when we humbly seek him out, we humbly lay down our concerns, he will answer and reassure us. But we have to watch for that, and we have to recognize that and give thanks to God for it. How did Abram respond to God's promise? In Genesis 15, 6, it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abram, who was, by the time he had a child, Abraham, he was old. He was, as some would say, dried up. He was incapable of having children. But he believed him. He believed in God's promise. And God honored that, and he was counted for righteousness. We need to believe God, and that God will see in us that righteousness that dwells in us through faith in Christ. So Abraham believed, he accepted God's word, and promise was reassured. So he was counted for righteousness, we remember that. He overcame doubts and fears by believing in God and his promises, and he was blessed in multiple ways. My wife has a little book called God's Promises for Every Kind of Need. She also has a little bowl next to her chair that all her prayer requests were written on a stone, and she has them in a glass bowl next to her chair, so that when God answers her prayers on those concerns, she remembers and thinks about what God did for her. And so, whether it be the promises of God or the fulfillment of God's taking care of those burdens and concerns, it reminds us to have faith in God. She looks at the promises of God. She holds on to them. And the Holy Spirit will reveal those promises to us when we face the most difficult times. You are my strength. Sometimes it's all we need. God, just be my strength. That's all I need. So I encourage you to look up promises. Maybe memorize some promises. Hold on to the promises by faith. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not doubt. Do not feel defeated. But be strong, faithful, confident, and at peace because of your relationship with Jesus. Knowing and believing God's promises will help you be an overcomer. You want to overcome the challenges? Believe in the promises of God. Have a right relationship with God. Follow him with all your heart. Here's a verse I want us to consider and memorize. And Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. In all genuineness, I've looked at that verse, Isaiah 41:10, all week. Read it, prayed, rehearsed, and went blank. But I did, just so you know. Okay? So look at this passage of scripture and think about it, because what the intent is this: embed this in your heart. So let's all stand. We're going to read this verse together. You ready? The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him.